for just a minute. I think I'm going to just share just 15, 20 minutes. But I'm going to ask you to do something for me. We're going to bring the kids back in a minute. So if you're in here and you're a parent, do not go get your kid. Do not leave yet, because we're going to bring the children back, okay? So I'm going to ask that you hang tight. Can you hang with us for about 15 minutes and see what God has for us? I'm not promising 15 minutes. It might be 20, but it's going to be close, okay? Because I want to get these kids back out here. These kids have already preached, and my intention is not to preach. But I do want to, I think, tie this together and let the Holy Spirit do a work in your life and apply it to our life. Is that okay? Can we pray? Can we pray right now? Could you just grab the hand of somebody beside you? And when this thing's over, I want you to hug a child, because they gave you everything they had up here. And their goal was to come in here to minister to you. And their goal was to see people touched. And their goal was to see people come to know Jesus. Their goal was to see changes in lives. And when you pour your heart and soul into something, and when you're up on this stage and or anywhere where you're ministering the gospel and you're making yourself so vulnerable, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. And when you do that, you deserve to feel appreciated. These children deserve to feel appreciated. And they deserve to know that when they put their soul on the lines up here for you guys, that you appreciate that and you love them. And they deserve to know that they got somebody's got their back. And they deserve to know when they go home that somebody cares about them and somebody's there for them. So when this message is over and God does powerful things, I believe, because of what His Holy Spirit has used them to do, then I want you to give them a hug and tell them somebody's got their back. Can we do that? Can we do that? I'm going to pray. Kids, you guys can go to the back, and we'll get you at the end, okay? We're going to bring you back out here. Give it up for our kids again, okay? Heavenly Father, right now, we thank you for our children. We thank you for what you're doing in their lives. We thank you for what you've used them. And Lord, we appreciate them. We appreciate them so much. We thank you for giving them to us and putting them in our care, Lord. And may we never take that for granted. But may we always appreciate that. May we always let them know how much we love them. May we always let them know. May we let them grow up to be ministers of your word. Let us in this season love each other, Lord. Let us put our selfishness aside and our pride aside, and let us just love, Lord. Let us love more this holiday. Let us care more. Let us be an example of what you were on this earth. And Lord, for the remainder of this service, I ask that you just bless whatever short word comes forward. I ask that you touch lives. I thank you for already ministering to lives through this powerful, powerful dramas, all of them. And I thank you for the pure hearts that gave their best up here. And Lord, I just ask that my own defiled heart, a heart that's not as pure as those kids, that's seen more things, that's messed up more times than I hope any of them do. But I hope that you use just a few words out of my lips, Lord, for these few minutes, Lord, to tie this together. And I pray that lives change here today. I pray that lives change not just for your neighbor, but for us, for each and every one of us. I pray it changes for me. I pray my life, Lord, changes for the better. Each and every time we get an opportunity to come, Lord, may we grow, may we get stronger, and may we change. Lord, I pray for a revolution in this place. I pray for a revolution in my heart. And I pray for a revolution in the hearts of every person in this room, that they see the power, that they see the real things that are important, and stop worrying about the crazy and stupid things in life, Lord, but that we focus on the powerful truths and the purpose and destiny of our lives. We thank you for what you're going to do and already have done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, I'm going to just read a real quick scripture. If you could turn to Luke 1, Luke 1, 26. Luke 1, 26, I'm going to read from the Passion. Luke 1, 26, and those that are able, if you could stand briefly for just this short passage of scriptures. Do you have it? If you have it, say amen. If you have it, say Merry Christmas. Say it like you mean it. Say it like you love Jesus. Turn to your left and say Merry Christmas to somebody. Turn to your right and say Merry Christmas to somebody. All right, here we go. During the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you. And so you are anointed with great favor." The Lord is with you and you are anointed with great favor. Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to fear, Mary, for the Lord has found a light to you in you and has chosen to surprise you with the wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Mary said, "But how could this happen? I'm still a virgin." And Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and the Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son, and the barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God." But listen to this, because that's a powerful revelation of God that's coming down right now to a little young girl. But what's important is, what is her response? Because I can get up here and I can say the most powerful things, and these children can do the most powerful things. But what are you responding? What is your response? Where is your mindset? Week after week, I see powerful moves of God going on, and I want to know, what is your response? What is my response? Mary responded, saying, "This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. And as his servant, I accept whatever," say whatever, "he has for me. May everything you told me come to pass." And the angel left her. You may be seated. In the King James, it simply says, she said, "Unto me according to thy word." What God has put in my heart this time, and we've shared, sort of touched on this at times over the years, but is the idea of revolution. I think that's what I think of when I think of Christmas. I think of revolution. And if I look up revolution, what revolution means is this: a radical and pervasive change in society and the social structure that occurs suddenly. You get what I'm saying? That's what a revolution is. Revolution is not evolution. Evolution evolves over time, and it takes centuries to happen. But what revolution is, and I'm not talking about creationism, I'm talking about as society evolves, as people's ideas evolve, as beliefs evolve. Because I'm here to tell you, there ain't no monkey made me. That there is no creational evolution. That there was a Father in heaven that said, let there be light. That there was a Father in heaven that made man in his own image. That there is a Father in heaven that took the rib of the man and made a woman. I'm here to tell you there is no creational evolution, but there is things that people evolve. I evolve over time. But a revolution is not an evolution, because a revolution occurs suddenly. It comes suddenly, and everything changes suddenly. And that's a powerful thing in their culture when a revolution occurs. There's not been a whole lot of revolutions in the history of mankind, but there's been revolutions. I think about political revolutions. I think about the American Revolution. Anybody know that story? 1776, a group of old boys said, I'm tired of being held captive. I'm tired of paying taxes and not having any representation. I'm tired of being a prisoner. I'm tired of not living free. And a group of old boys got their hunting rifles together, and they took them off the backs of their wagons, and they got out and they started shooting at some redcoats, and everything changed. They created a Declaration of Independence, and they said, no more king, but we're going to be a free people. And so I'm telling you, the world changed because democracy spread like a wildfire all over the world as people said, you know what? If them old boys across the pond can do it, we can have it too. Once people see that a little bit of freedom, they want a taste for themselves. Once you see your neighbor free, once you see somebody that you knew that was in bondage, that you knew had problems like yourself, once you see them get a little of that freedom, you want a little bit of that freedom. That's revolution. I think of the Industrial Revolution. You ever heard of that? What's the Industrial Revolution? Well, how about this? For thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years, man lived pretty similar to how he always lived. He got around on a horse or a wagon, and he would eat, you know, just the earth. And all that sort of thing. But all of a sudden, the late 1800s, a sudden change occurred at a really profound, rapid pace that people just started creating things. Within a few years, like 30 years, there was a car, there was a plane, there was factories, there were phones, there were radios, and within half a century, there was a man on the moon. Now, for thousands of years, we still would live the same. But suddenly, everything changed. They said there was an atomic revolution or a nuclear revolution. And I'm not real good on the quantum physics and all that. I'm sure Kraft back there could probably fill me in a little bit on how powerful that is on our power grids and all that. I don't know. But they say that's a revolution. That I will tell you a revolution I do know about called an informational revolution. Used to, you'd have to read in the newspaper, and it would take years to find out or days to find out things. They would fight wars, and they would still be fighting battles after they ended because you couldn't get word to the front lines. But how many knows now you got the power of the most amazing computer right here in your pocket? All of you do. You can communicate all over the world. We know everything going on every second all over the world. Information is buzzing through my head through little radio frequencies right now. You all have radio frequencies bouncing all over this place as people are communicating. And many people might be communicating in here right now as we're trying to minister. You might be texting somebody. There's an informational revolution. But the greatest revolution that ever occurred happened about 2,000 years ago. It happened in Bethlehem when a baby was born. Because from the moment that baby was born, the entirety of human history changed. The entirety of human history changed. From the moment that baby was born, he had to go on the run. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to take him out. The powers of this world wanted to take him out. They wanted to kill him. From the moment he was born, society was split in two from one question: what will you do with Jesus? And it has divided the culture. It has divided the world ever since. The world is divided over one baby who was born. And today, you can go anywhere in the world, and that is still the most divisive question you can get asked. What do you do with Jesus? It splits the world right in two. What will you do with Jesus? We have a calendar now created because a baby was born. We celebrate these holidays because a baby was born. We have churches, millions of churches all over the world, as people get together and pour out their hearts week after week. And there's something about this thing that keeps it going. There's something about this baby that we can't let go of. There's something about this thing that has changed this world that we just can't let go of. And we're still celebrating his birth 2,000 years later. But here's what I want to share with you. The revolution didn't begin in a manger. And we shared last week that, you know, at 1 John, that Jesus has always been. But let me tell you where the revolution occurred. The revolution on this rock. On this rock. On the earth. It didn't occur in a manger. It occurred a few months prior, when the angel of the Lord appeared to a little girl and said, "We got a job to do. Me and you. We got a job to do." He said, "Little girl, you may be a nobody. You may think you're a nobody. You may be in a small town. You may have no skills. You have nobody knows you. You're not famous, little girl. You're not wealthy, little girl. You don't have any kind of crazy talent, little girl. But everything you have, I need. Because you and me are going to rock this planet. And you and me are going to change the world." That's a powerful thing. You know what that is? That's a revelation. That's a word from God. But here's the deal about a revelation. A revelation don't become a revolution without your response. A revelation never became a revolution without her response, because God knew anything he wants to do, but God wasn't going to force her. God needed her participation. God needed her response. He's not going to force you. He needs your response. He's not going to force me to get it. He's not going to force me to love. He's not going to force me to give all. He's not going to force me to preach the gospel. He's not going to force me to go into prisons. He's not going to force me to go to the bridge. He's not going to force me to go into the homes of the drug addicts and the homes of the lonely and the homes of the depressed and the broken homes and the children's homes. He's not going to force me to do any of that. But if he puts it in my heart, and if I respond, that revelation becomes a revolution, and everything will change in my life. Everything will change. See, here's the trick, or here's the thing, here's the crux of the whole thing. We can celebrate Christmas, and we can put our nativities out, and we can see it so many times it loses its power. But here's the real key about Christmas. It's a reminder to me of what God wants to birth in me and you. It's a reminder that God will use the simple people, the people that don't have it all together, the knuckleheads like me and the knuckleheads like you, the people, you know, he didn't appear in Jerusalem to the most high anointed temple priestess and say, "I need to use you to birth a king." He went to a little girl in the middle of nowhere and said, "Give me all you got." And I believe that's really what it comes down to. He wants to come to each and every person in this room. You say, "Well, I'm not special." Neither was Mary. Her response was special. She says, "You're not talented." Neither was Mary. I don't see in the Bible where she ever had any talent. I'm not saying she didn't, but nowhere does it say she was this amazing, talented person. There's no examples of her using her talent. But she gave all she had. And the thing about giving all you have is there's more to it than we sometimes think. Because what she had to do when she said, "Be unto me according to thy word," she had to give up her dreams for God's plan. You realize that? She had a plan in life. She had a man she was betrothed to. And don't you think a little girl, you all have had little girls. I've had little girls. If you've had little girls, that was a little girl right there, that knucklehead. And sometimes their dreams are silly, but their dreams, daggone it, they got dreams. They dream of, she would have no doubt dreamed of a life with her betrothed husband. Maybe she thought about children and grandchildren and fun times. And I don't know what they did, if they had vacations back then or not, but let's say they did, you know. Photo ops. They didn't have photos, but don't we? Don't we all just want that life? Don't we want photo ops, and don't we want all this, and don't we want our dreams? And sometimes we tell ourselves that our kids' dreams, but they're really our dreams. Right? But she would have had to give up all of that. We just look at the positive. We just look, wow, you get to birth Jesus. But what does that really mean? That means being ostracized. That means being on the run. That means people trying to kill you. That means being scared to death that your secret gets found out. Being scared for his welfare. That means seeing him at a cross. That means seeing him hung between the heaven and the earth and beaten and whipped and bloody. That means he'll never have a grandbaby by him. That means seeing him die. That means your dreams die for what God wants to do in your life. And that's what you got to get. But oh, what a life. Yeah, she could have had 2.5 kids and a donkey. But the Bible says the secrets that she shared, that she held in her heart, nobody ever knew. Can you imagine what a powerful, I mean, the Bible doesn't even cry. I believe it's, I don't know. I'm not saying this is definitely, but sometimes I think it's because he does say in the scripture that she got to keep some secrets. I think God gave her some secrets. I think God didn't share everything about Jesus. You ever wonder why the Bible doesn't describe all of Jesus' youth? Maybe that was for Mary. Maybe that was just for Mama. Because Mama got to be there. What powerful things must she have saw as she raised this child? What powerful revelation we saw at the age of 12, how he was astonishing the people in the temple. What powerful things must she have saw raising this young boy, the Son of God. What powerful opportunity she must have saw. She got the opportunity to see him perform his first miracle. She told him to. And when Mama says do it, you do it. She told him, Jesus, it's time. She was there. She was there at the cross, but she saw him get out of the dirt. And she was there, lived long enough to see him resurrected and lived long enough to see him ascend to the Father. What a life this lady lived. And what a role she played. Now, I know we don't deitize her like some religions. She was just a regular person like me and you. But what a role she played in changing this world. Sometimes maybe we can go the opposite direction. We can get so, I guess, worried because other people deitize her that we just forget about her. But God needed her. But you know what? God needs you. God needs you. Because he has a revelation that he wants to bury deep inside you that is bigger than your dreams. It's stuff you can't even imagine. Things you've never even dreamed. You might see your limitations and you say, well, he can't use me. You don't know what I'm going through. I'm addicted. Or I'm depressed. Or I'm lonely. Or I'm shy. Or I'm whatever. I'm too busy. I have a job. I'm a provider. Well, I don't have a job. I'm not a provider. I'm, woe is me. I'm depressed. I'm happy. I'm... But in the end, he wants to use you to radically change your world. Christmas was not about a one-time revolution. But what Jesus wants to do is to radically change your life. A sudden, amazing change. where everything's different. That's what he wants to do. That's his word. That's a revelation. That's what the Bible says. He wants to change your life. So what's our response? Is it an excuse? Maybe later, God. Maybe another Christmas, God. I got more gifts to get. We'll do that another time, Jesus. I'm too busy celebrating Christmas to worship you. I'm too busy decorating these trees to worship you. I got Christmas gifts to get, you know. Will that be our response, or will our response be unto me according to your word? Will our response be, whatever you need, Jesus, I'm here. I'm ready for a change. Because I'm telling you, in this place, we make it too many times about, you know, segregating people, meaning, well, this message is just for lost people, and this message is just for Christians, and all this stuff, you know? But I'm here to tell you that this preacher is ready for a change. I'm ready for a sudden, explosive, powerful change in my life. In my life. I don't want status quo. I don't want going through the motions. I don't want another cute song. I don't want another cute baby picture. Up front, oh, they are cute. But I want us to see what God is telling us. I want my life to change. How about you? What do you want this Christmas? What do you want? Xbox? New car? New job? PlayStation? Tickle Me Elmo? Christmas trees, Christmas carols, nothing wrong with those things. I think it's powerful. I think it's powerful what Mr. Steve did in the middle of a Cracker Barrel after prison one time recently. Stood up to pray and just started singing Christmas carols, and the whole place joined in. They did. They asked for an encore, too. But what do you want this Christmas? What do you want today for your life and your family's life? Because if you're satisfied, you'll stay satisfied. If you're satisfied, you'll die satisfied. You'll die just like you are. But if you're hungry for change, God can birth a revolution through you. If you're hungry for change, God can birth a revolution in you. God wants to do something bigger than he's ever done in your life. God wants to do something bigger than he's ever done in my life. God wants to do something different in your life. God don't want this to be another Christmas. God don't want this to be another, let's just get through the motions and go see grandma. And oh man, I hate all these dinners and I hate this traffic. And people at Walmart are so grouchy and these lines are so long. And why don't they have more workers? And this stinks. That's not what it's about, my friend. So if the word says God wants to use you to change your world, love more, be a better parent, be a better person, be less selfish, be less hurtful, support somebody, give all to somebody, get out of your own way. If that's what God wants to do in our life this Christmas, what's our response? What's our response? That's the revelation. And there's only one thing between revelation and revolution, that's response. So the question is not, can God do it? Because if I ask everybody in this room, can God change your life? Yes. Can God cure cancer? Yes. Can God do anything he wants? Yes. Can God get me out of the dirt one day? Yes. It's not can God do it. It's will you allow him to do it in your life? Because if you don't want to change, you're just going to die the same way you are. And you're going to keep repeating the same thing, and so am I. So I told you I wasn't going to be long. I think these kids did a good job. I think they did everything that had to be done. But the question, I think what the Holy Spirit wanted me to hammer home today is, will you apply that to your life, and what is your response to that word? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and it's going to be a little different. Here's a question for you. And I want you to answer. I want you to go with me. We're going to bring the kids in a minute. Nobody's looking around, but here's your question. How many people in this room say, I know that I believe that God has a plan for every human being. He didn't make junk. If you believe that, raise your hand. If you don't, we need to have a talk. That I believe that God has a plan for every human being. That he doesn't make junk. We talked about that last week. He didn't make fodder. He didn't make ponds. That he makes everybody special. Do you believe that? If you believe that, raise your hand. Yeah, don't disrespect him. It ain't for me. I don't care. I can't see all of you. But he knows. So are you an everybody? If you're an everybody, raise your hand. All right. So by logical definition, I was pretty good in that logic stuff in school. But I don't think you have to be to get this. If you admitted that God has a plan for everybody and you admitted you're an everybody, then I guess that means God's got a plan for you. Is that right? If God has a plan for you, then I want you to raise your hand if you know that. Now let me ask you this. How many say, you know what? This Christmas, man, I'm not saying everything's bad. I'm not saying I'm the most horrible person. I'm not saying I'm killing babies or doing... But I'm telling you here, I need a change in my life, man. I need a revolution. I need God to have a revolution in my life. I need change. I need a sudden change in my situations. I'm tired of the status quo, and I'm tired of living and going through the motions, and I'm tired of going to church on Sunday, and I'm raising my hand because I want a revolution in my life. And if that's you right now and you say, that's what I want, man, I want a change. I want a change in my life. I want a change in my family. I want a change in my job. I want a change in my situation. I want a change in my finances. I want a change in my health. I want a change. Then I want you to raise your hand high right now. Hallelujah. I feel a revolution coming. I hear the sound of soldiers marching. I hear spiritually the sound of soldiers marching. I hear a revolution coming, a revolution in the streets, a revolution in the schools, a revolution in the church houses, a revolution in our homes. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you there were so many hands went up that said, I'm ready for a change, and I want a change for Christmas. I'm here to tell you, if these people, if this group of people, this many people that raised their hands would really say, God, be unto me according to thy word. If they really say, God, if we would really say, if I would really say, if you would really say, every hand that went up, if you'd really say, God, I'll do it, man. Use me however you want to use me. Let me get myself out of the way, God, today. And use me how you want to use me. I'm here to tell you, there'll be a revolution in this county, in this state, in this community, in this country, in this world. And I'm crazy enough to believe it. I'm crazy enough to believe it. Are you crazy enough to believe it too? Hallelujah. I hear a revolution coming, Jenny. There were too many hands went up, Jenny. If they mean it, this world's going to change. Lives are going to change. Do you mean it? Church, do we mean what we're saying here? Are we just going through junk? Or do we believe all of this? Do we believe this Mary? Do we believe this virgin girl? Do we believe this manger? Do we believe this cross? Do we believe this resurrection? Oh, do we believe he wants to change our world and change our lives? Put your hands in the air one more time. I want to hear soldiers marching. I want to hear soldiers marching. I want to count to three, and I want God's people to God, use me this Christmas. Use me this year. Use me right now. Change me right now. Sing, and these kids are already in here praying for you. But there are hands all over this room that said, I want this change, and I want God to use me. But if you want change, man, you got to do something differently. Take a little chance this morning. Come up here and pray with these kids, man. These kids preach their heart out for you. I didn't do much of a good job, maybe, but these kids, they preach their heart out for you. They're up here praying, and they're wanting to see your response. If you're in this room, and you want that change, then you come up here and you pray with these kids. You come up here and let them know you're them. And you come up here and let them know that you want your life to change. That you want your life to change. That